Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How might a person transform growing up in Hawaii only to move to California, Kentucky, West Virginia, and North Carolina as a football player, then as a collegiate football coach, before returning to you and your wife's high school alma mater as head coach? This is the story of Abu and Marlena Ma'afala. A transformational story of God's grace and God's love. And we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you, dear friend. Yes, to lead you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord who loves you and knows you. I mean, he knows you in such a way that he knows everything that you're going through right now. Whatever you're facing, whatever task is before you, however tough things might seem, you might feel like your back is against the wall. Well, my friend, there's always hope in Jesus. And that's why we're here, because he loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, dear one, the living Christ who has touched Coach Abu and Marlena Ma'afala is here to touch your heart as well. Will you open your heart to Jesus? Oh, that's our hope. That's our hope and our prayer. Abu Ma'afala is the head football coach at Kamehameha School's Kapalama, his alma mater. He's an all-state defensive lineman, played football at the University of Hawaii and Cal Berkeley, where he graduated in American Studies. Coach Ma'afala's career took his family to the University of Louisville in Kentucky, West Liberty University in West Virginia, where he also was on the faculty of the exercise physiology department. He's married to Marlena, also a graduate of Kamehameha, and the University of Notre Dame. They have one son, Levi, a daughter, Lene. Coach Abu, Marlena, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up, Coach?
I grew up split time. My parents got divorced when I was about five, so actually grew up right here, Marite in the housing, and then also in Kaneohe. My mom's family was from Kaneohe, so just kind of went back and forth. And then once we got into high school, just kind of stayed primarily here on the town side. So,
Marlena?
I grew up on the beautiful west side of Oahu in Nanakuli.
Well, what was it like there? Remember?
I didn't know any different. I'm glad I grew up there. Humble, very loving people there on the homestead.
Manny and Rosie Bernardino, precious people. Who influenced you most, Coach, in your growing up years?
Probably the two most influential people. I kind of have a set, yeah, like I said. So my parents were divorced. And so, you know, on my mom's side was definitely my grandma and my grandpa. You know, they, Brandy and Lila Borges, they stepped in the gap, you know, when my parents weren't there. And then on my dad's side, it was my grandma, Lucia, and my auntie Mo. So I was like... I was kind of like the last baby brother of all the Ma'afalas. So I grew up with Chris and Roy and Tanya. And so me and my other cousin, we were kind of raised kind of as their own children, kind of like the last of the Mohicans, you know. Mm-hmm. All of my other cousins, they want to say they're from Marites, but they're not, because we were like the last of them all. And then lastly, probably my stepdad, Rap Fitzsimmons. So, you know, just talk about a story of unconditional love. You know, wasn't his blood son, but he took care of me. He raised me, like I said, when my parents weren't there. So, you know, I draw a lot off of him. And those are kind of like the key people that I think growing up kind of sheltered me from a lot of the bad stuff that was happening around me, I guess. So,
and Marlene, how about you? Who influenced you in those early years?
I would have to say the same. My grandmother had a strong influence on me. She modeled the perfect balance of grace and truth, and she actually raised a lot of her grandkids that way. While I'm just one of four, she has a lot of grandchildren. So, I would say my grandmother, Arviela Puanani Kelii.
Grandparents.
Suzanne, may I say that I'm loving listening to this as the grandmother of 10?
I'm hearing an echo of amen.
Oh,
amen, amen.
Yes. Pray, and what a privilege, really, what a privilege as a grandparent it is to impact, especially for Christ, your grandchildren.
Amen.
You whisper the Ma'afala name around places like these, and well, you mentioned Chris, Roy, Nick, Benson. The Ma'afala family, of course, Tanya. We talk about football as one thing, and now it's volleyball with Tanya and now Faith.
Yeah,
Ma'afala. Did football come easy?
Coach, you know, for me, it didn't. You know, it was funny because, you know, I wasn't very coordinated, I was kind of a late bloomer. So, a guy that coached me, James McClure, you know, I stepped foot on campus as a seventh grader at Kamehameha, and I'm this fat little pudgy kid that's got two left feet, and so all the coaches look at themselves and they're like, this guy's a Ma'afala, you know. So it was just kind of one of those deals where it took some time for me to kind of develop, but you know, I think the drive was always there, you know, living under you know, obviously being a Ma'afala, and nobody impressed it upon me. It was just kind of one of those things where you knew that was a way to kind of carry on the family name. And so, you know, growing up watching Chris play for St. Louis, I, you know, admittedly wanted to go to St. Louis, and then getting into Kamehameha was just kind of a different thing. And so I'm kind of unique in that I'm the, after Chris, I'm the one boy, for about, from Chris to me is about 7 years. And then from me to my next nearest cousin is another 3 years. So, like, you know, my uncles and everybody grew up watching me play, you know. So it was kind of unique in that I was almost like the only one carrying it on until the next one came. And then there's a bunch of them after, you know. So it was something that I knew that, you know, took seriously and wanted to represent the family as well as I could. So,
Marlena, when did you meet?
We actually met at my youngest brother's first birthday luau. He's best friends with one of my, I thought he was my real cousin, but it was just because we went to the same church and we grew up together, Brandon Ala. They were best friends and he invited him, and I think he fell in love with me. So,
yeah. I just need a little bit more time. You know, she didn't know what she was. You know, she had right in front of her, so I just had to kind of let it play out, and you know, she figured it out a little bit later.
How many years did that take?
yeah. Really, probably about 6-7 months of me. You know, I joke all the time. Tell my players and my kids that I took French class at Kamehameha just so that I could write love letters in French, and that's kind of how I got her. So it took some time.
Your faith journey and your relationship with Christ, how did that develop?
You know, first of all, for me, I think coming through as a kid, you know, and especially in Samoan culture, you know, a lot of it for me going to church was so that my grandma wouldn't give me lickings or she would be nice to me, you know? So, so I had a semblance of God, you know, and, you know, we pray. I mean, Samoan was like, we woke up every morning, 7 a.m. We had prayer as a family. The street lights come on. I had to be in the house. And then at 6:30 every night, we had corporate prayer as a family. So it was just kind of something that you did, you know, and then obviously, you know, you had to go to church on Sunday or else my auntie or my grandma would like be mad at me. So I think the difficult thing for me was, you know, in my life living split, you know, I always wanted to stay with my grandparent and my grandma and my auntie here in Marites, but when I would go to my grandma and grandpa's house and stay with my mom, then there was no real, you know, we didn't go to church or anything. It wasn't consistent. So, you know, later on through high school and, you know, even in college, you know, I remember in college, you know, prior to me leaving here, I was, you know, just living in the world. And so I'll be at the bar on Saturday night, but I made sure that I showed up and sat next to my grandma on Sunday so that she wouldn't be mad at me, you know, for the rest of the week. And, you know, I could still call her up and she would be okay. And so a lot of it for me, though, my true finding God, I think it happened, you know, because of my relationship with my wife and I. And, you know, we two different upbringings. You know, I came from a, you know, broken home where basically going into my senior year, I basically raised myself. You know, I remember my senior year, I was like rotating on which friend's house I would sleep at, you know. Just like I said, I just had no supervision over me versus my wife, who came from a two-parent home, you know, where she had a spiritual connection, you know. And so we, you know, the throes of being a college football athlete and, you know, also being from Hawaii, where you want to, you know, stay with your high school sweetheart, you know, I had issues with that, you know. And so, you know, break up, get back together, break up, get back together. It was just kind of one of those things, you know, being long distance while she was at Notre Dame. And so, you know, one summer, our freshman year, going into our sophomore year, I got her pregnant. And we weren't even together at the time, you know. And so it was just kind of one of those things where we had to repair this relationship and try to make it work, you know. And so just tried to do that here while I was at UH and you know, trying to work, and never really had a model of what that looked like to be a dad and provide, and you know. And so we had our son Levi May 11th 2004, and it was hard, you know. I still had this dream of playing in the NFL and having obligations to train with the team, but also you know, our coach got me a summer job at the old Weyerhaeuser box factory, and you know, trying to work an 8-hour day and then train. And then, you know, I didn't know that I had to stay up all night and feed a baby. And I was just like, man, I'm coming home, I'm going to sleep. And meanwhile, she's been stuck at home all day with the baby. And so, you know, again, never had great example of how to resolve conflict in a relationship. And it got hard. And after 3 months, I bailed on my wife and my son, you know, my 3-month-old son. And just so happened at that time that, you know, things at UH were kind of unraveling for me. And I truly think that God had me go to Cal for, he needed to get me off of this island. You know, I think I had, he needed to get me kind of by myself. I kind of liken it to when Jacob wrestled with God. You know, it just was him. He sent everybody in front of him. And so going to Cal, because I actually got released from the football team. You know, Coach June Jones and I just didn't see eye to eye on some things, and I ended up getting released. And so blessed, you know, that I got a scholarship to, for me as a person, it was one where I had to come to grips with a lot of the things from my childhood, and, you know, not having the familial support, you know, from my actual parents. And it was hard. It was, you know, I remember days where I didn't want to get out of bed, and you know, I would just try to listen to as much worship music as possible. And then also living with the fact that, you know, I had abandoned my son and abandoned my, you know, my girlfriend at the time, and coming to grips with, like, man, is that who you really are as a person?
I remember reading one of the articles that you mentioned your time at Cal as a time when you became a man.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like a coming of age story, really. It's the true story of Coach Abu and Marlena Maafala. Coming of age, Coach, when we come back, let's talk about becoming a man, becoming what happened during that time that you were there. Because as you're speaking today, you're just speaking, just this is gut level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. This is my life, but this is how God has worked in my life. Dear friend, as you're listening today, you might say, what? Huh? Wow? Really? God worked in their situation? A moment where things went awry, so to speak, but God brought things back together. God made a man whole. God made a relationship whole. God
restoration.
And look at them now. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a story of hope, dear friend. So stay with us. Heart to Heart. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Coach Abu Ma'afala says that attending Kamehameha School has changed the trajectory of his life. Today, he is the head football coach. He joins us today with his dear wife, Marlena. And before our break, he was explaining about how things were beginning to unravel in his life as they had the birth of their first child. He ended up making a transition, going to Berkeley, and playing football there, receiving a scholarship to play there. But before we get into that, let me just remind you the reason I just want to take some time. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com is where you can get this program in its entirety. It's a gift to you. Just go ahead and download it, share it with a family member or friend. Share the hope that the Lord is bringing through the life of the Ma'afalas. Share it with a family member or friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Marlena, your spiritual journey, how did you come to know the Lord? Share a little bit with us.
I was born into a family that was very involved in church. They were, at the time, attending the Lamb of God Church in Makaha. They also have a branch here in town. And, I don't think I really had a choice, per se, growing up. So I was very... I grew up trying to please God. Follow all of his rules, and it kind of turned me into a perfectionist in that I was very works-based, and like it all came to a head actually the same time when he was finding his own identity or lack thereof. When we had our son, that's when I realized that I could not handle the weight of trying to be perfect. When I couldn't control the outcome of my family situation. It wasn't something that I planned out or dreamed for myself. So, yeah.
What did God do? And I'm going to ask this of you too, Coach. What do you feel God did in your heart at that time? Perfection and things unraveling. What did God do? Or what was he saying to you?
Oh. Actually, when he was getting closer to God, I was getting further from him. I was like, I spent my whole childhood trying to please God. Only to meet somebody that I thought was going to make me happy for the rest of my life. And I think what he showed me was that I made all of my goals. I made him my God. I put all of my trust in him. I looked to him to give me all of the joy, peace. And when he asked what God did with my heart, it made me realize that I needed him, that I didn't need this picture-perfect life to make me whole. I needed something more. I needed God's grace.
Coach, you there at Cal, becoming a man, tell us more. What is this, becoming a man? What happened?
Yeah. So again, you know, I went up there and like the first couple of weeks, just, you know, again, in a new environment and still, you know, doing the same thing, partying and being dumb. It was like the first couple of weeks. And then, you know, God like stopped me in my tracks and was like, did you really come all this way? Like to do the same thing that you were doing before? And like, man, you just left your son behind. And then there just kind of started me on, like I said, just dealing with all of the childhood stuff that was in me, you know, the abandonment just all of the poor traits that I picked up, the deception and the lying. And like, cause those are things with, you know, my relationship, you know, as boyfriend, girlfriend was just, you know, like deception to her and lying. Like I said, she was real, the way that she was brought up was like, you know, it was black or white. And for me, it was like, hey, I can finagle my way out of anything, you know. And I also had big influence when I was there was my position coach. His name is Ken Delgado. I still, you know, he and I still keep in touch, but it was almost like he was my dad, you know, taught me how to, he put, you know, never did I have anybody like hold me to a standard and hold me accountable and be like, hey, you got to show up at this time. And, you know, you missed this time, so you're going to, here's the punishment. Like, it was never, there wasn't anything I could say or do that was going to get me out of, you know, when I did something wrong. But he was also a guy where, you know, if you did something right, there was a reward. So just learning how to stand up and I think also getting me just away from my family and my friends and really finding out who I am as a person, you know, and not being, because I had, you know, I was always trying to please people, you know, so I never really had an identity. It was just, you know, I didn't want them to leave me. So let me just figure out a way. So I, you know, I learned how to stand on my own two feet and God bringing me closer to him, just, you know, learning what it meant to, you know, read your Bible and pray and believe and to, you know, slowly but surely some of those things, those vain things in the world that I was chasing after, the partying and the girls and the, you know, just slowly wasn't something that was appealing to me anymore, you know. And then just so I didn't think that, and she'll tell you too, like, she was done with me, you know, and I was like, man, there's no way. There's too much, you know, hurt and broken trust between us. And but God had a way, you know, God, even in all of that, God was like, that's going to be your wife. And, you know, and God made a way eventually to bring us back together. And we got married in 2006. And from there, it's just been, we've been journeying along together 13 years, you know, raising our kids and just trying to, like she said, you know, I became her God. And for me, I had no God in my life. And I think once we got married, we realized when we came back, you know, for that time, and it was, you know, we can't do anything if our eyes aren't focused on God. And so the more that we focused our attention on God and building our relationship, then the closer that we got, you know.
That triangle.
Yes.
With God at the center.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you know, where we are today. And God is so good because, you know, having to raise our kids, I don't think I ever wanted it any other way.
Coach Marlena, I want to do this. I think this is a perfect time. Someone today, Marlena, has had their heart broken as you have had your heart broken. And as you speak, something stirs so deeply in them. Maybe it might have been something that happened a while back, or maybe someone's going through something right now. But for you too, Coach, someone, a man right now, might be feeling the feelings of something similar to what you've gone through. And they're wondering, is there hope? Could there be restoration? Is there really a possibility? Is this just a dream that I have, or can it become reality? And you're living reconciled, restored under the grace of God. So I just wonder if you'd be willing to pray for someone right now who may just, I think they would appreciate maybe a prayer or a touch. Would you be open to doing that?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Sure. I can pray?
Yeah.
Okay.
You and Marlena.
Okay. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for your perfect timing, Lord Heavenly Father, and we pray, Lord Father God, for all the listeners that are out there, Lord Father God, under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you just touch their heart, Lord Jesus, that you show up like you showed up for us, Lord Jesus, that every good and perfect gift comes from above, and while the timing may not be right, Lord, that there is no rejection. You sent your Son on the cross to forgive us of all our sins and our unrighteousness, Lord, and that we're never but a reach away. Lord, and I ask that for all of those that are in despair, but you've shown them, Lord, Father God, in a glimpse, in a vision, in a dream, Lord, the things that you have laid out for them. Father God, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, send them peace. You send them hope that you redeem all, and you bring everything back and restore it to what you have called it to be, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, lover of our souls, I just pray for any broken heart that might be out there. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Father God, will abound in your grace and just heal the hearts of those that may be broken. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your dominion, your power, and your authority to take any situation and redeem it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
So, dear friend, well, Suzanne, as Marlena and Abu pray, maybe a word, even as they have prayed for someone who's wrestling right now, whose heart is restless and broken.
So, Heavenly Father, you are a God of love, and you're a God of forgiveness. So, Father, I just pray for our listening audience, anyone that is experiencing anything that's resonating in their heart, I ask that you would just send a flutter through them, an awareness of your love, and that you are a God that they can turn to. Even in your sovereignty, turn their hearts to you, Lord. Cause them to seek you in this time, because as they do, they will find you. You tell us in Jeremiah, if we will seek you with our whole hearts, we will find you. So that would be my prayer for even all of our listening audience. I pray that for myself almost daily. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God we can trust. You created us. You love us. Draw us to yourself. In Christ's name.
Amen. The Lord hears and answers prayers. He's ministered by His Spirit through Coach Abu, through Marlena, through Suzanne. And dear one, we believe that the Lord hears and answers, and He knows you, and He's with you now. And God is bringing people around you, resources, opportunities, things that will turn the course as He works in and through you. When we come back from our break, more from Abu and Marlena Maafala. Great names in football. Teammates with quarterbacks Timmy Chang, Pisa Tinoi Samoa at Hawaii. NFL greats, Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch at Cal. A 32-yard interception touchdown. Well, we'll tell you more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I wonder, what would it feel like? I don't even know if I can dream about this, Suzanne. What would it feel like to tackle a Heisman Trophy running back?
Awesome.
To be playing against a Heisman Trophy quarterback. I mean, we're talking Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. And I mean, I think I can go on and talk about Abu Maafala. There's also an interface with, if any Cowboys fans are around listening today, the name Tony Romo, the quarterback, might ring a bell. I'm saying all this. Abu is a humble man, but I do need to mention it because it's part of the narrative that God has woven together in the life of this family.
Yes.
And it's growing with influence in the lives of young people. And when we touch young people, aren't we touching the future?
Yes.
When we touch young people for God, aren't we touching people for eternity? The Good Life Radio Show here. Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maher, my co-host, Coach Abu and Marlena Maafala in studio with us today. Get this at thegoodlifehawaii.com and share it. Coach, you played against these greats.
Tackled them, it sounds like.
Tell us about your 32-yard interception touchdown against Tony Romo.
Call that a stroke of luck. No, it was, you know, we were playing Eastern Illinois. It was my first ever collegiate game. And so I was kind of on the bubble as far as playing in that game, because back then, as far as redshirting was concerned, once you played one play, then you had to activate the whole season. So, I was a young guy off of UH coming in and 17. I mean, I turned 18 while we were in the middle of training camp, and probably like would have been 2 weeks before that game or a week before that game, I turned 18. But it just so happened that going into that game, I was the fifth guy in the rotation and would only play if somebody got injured. And on the second series of that game, our star defensive tackle, it was a pretty dirty play, but broke his lower leg. So, get pressed into action and it really was just, I think they were trying to run a screen and we had called the perfect stunt up front, and our defensive end, Kevin Jackson, who's still playing and coaching in Japan. I mean, he graduated that year, so he's been, playing football for a long time, but he put enough pressure on Tony Romo. Tony Romo just, the gambling man that he was, he just kind of threw it up, and I just so happened to step in the way of his pass and intercepted it. And if it wasn't for Pisa Tinoi Samoa, I probably would have got tackled after about 5 yards. So I scored a touchdown, and stands went wild and all that. So
now, if I recall correctly, was there some a dramatic interlude as you entered it, flew over the threshold of the end zone?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it. I thought I was flying in my head.
Was it a Reggie Bush type of?
I was trying to be like Chad Owens, and Owens. You go back and watch the tape, and I barely hopped over the line. So, I got a penalty on the play, but Coach Jones's rule was always if we're up 21, then we won't get punished. So thankfully, I scored the 21st point, and everything was okay.
You had enough cushion. There was margin there. Yes. How were you inspired to become a coach?
Again, by Coach Delgado. Like I said, he had such a profound impact on my life as a player that I thought as soon as I got done playing, did the whole pro day thing and try to get tryouts. And, by that time she was pregnant with our second, and we're living in Indiana so she could finish school. And so I just kind of gave up, I gave up the dream, and I thought I was done with football. Told myself I'll never, ever coach. But after going into 2007, 2008 football season was kind of like, oh, man, I'm kind of getting the bug. So I talked to my guy, Coach Delgado, and he said, well, go coach high school football first and see if you want to get into it. Because I told him that if I got into college coaching, I only wanted to do it under him because of all the things that I believed that he taught me is what I wanted to learn. And So my first ever coaching gig was a defensive line coach at Riley High School in South Bend, Indiana, inner city school. It was an interesting experience, and it just so happened that Coach Delgado had left Cal and took a job at the University of Louisville, and they had a job. Just so happened that they had an opening, and I was fortunate enough to get on as a quality control coach, and then as a graduate assistant.
These experiences in coaching. I mean, it's taken you even a couple of years with the NFL Carolina Panthers, mm-hmm. right? When you span the levels, high school, college, NFL, what lessons have you learned along the way?
Oh, I think for me, that for both of us, you don't realize it until you're in it, but God paired us together. And is using football as a vehicle for our ministry, and at West Liberty and even here at Kamehameha. I mean, kids come into your office was able to help coach two kids now that played for me, through teen pregnancy, and that was something that we went through. And it was like, man, God, there's only you could ever have worked that out, that come from broken homes and just being able to witness to them and, just show the love of Christ, to them. I mean, we barely had two pennies to rub together, but she always made it a point to take a bunch of the boys. We'd take them to Walmart when we were in West Virginia and just try and bless them with whatever we could bless them with because, college life and no food. And so just really seeing you know, I love coaching football. I love football. I think, you know, my prayer is that God will let me get back to the professional level. But I think for right now, it's definitely, it's not about me and about the, you know, the sphere of influence that I have right now, and us both trying to leverage it, you know, for the kingdom in the end.
Marlena, what is a histologist?
We deal with tissue that is removed surgically, and we prepare it for the pathologist to determine whether or not it's benign or something that you should be concerned about.
How did you develop an interest in this field?
Actually, because of the profession that he chose, I just kind of had to put all of my dreams on the back burner, because initially I wanted to be a doctor. And at the time, we had two kids to provide for. He was a graduate assistant, and they don't get paid very much. It's more about having the opportunity and get your foot in the door at a big university. So I just had to take whatever job was available, and with my degree from Notre Dame, I was able to get my foot in the door in a histology lab.
Well, I've read a lot about this man and this family. I mean, to the degree that I've been able, but he has affectionately, Suzanne, affectionately and tenderly called Marlena his high school sweetheart. The brains of the operation. Yeah, brains of the operation. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more about the blessing that she is to him and he is to her. And as you can tell, the things that have been shared, and these are gut-level things in life, and one of the most beautiful and engaging things about knowing the Lord is that the Lord is not just placating, and he doesn't just work on the surface of things and make sure everything's polished. Oh, that's nice. This is good. He gets into the stuff, and he works in your life too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
You're listening
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I talked about the brains of the family. Of course, that's Coach Abu talking about his wife. But Suzanne and I, even during the break, we're just talking about Notre Dame and Cal Berkeley. I mean, just brains, brains, brains. And the histologist, a football coach that has spanned the NFL and the high school levels. This is the Good Life radio program, and we're talking about the good life. The good life is the good life in the Lord, because the good life is, well, sometimes it's finding the wonder and the beauty in the greatest challenges, maybe even in the brokenness. Perhaps that's part of the beauty of God in Christ, is that even in our lowest moments, you may say, Danny, stop, stop. Well, in the lowest moments, in the brokenness, God puts the shattered glass of the pieces together into a beautiful, beautiful mosaic. Coach, when you, you're up there coaching at Kamehameha School, is one of the top football programs in the state, what do you find is one of the, maybe one of the most challenging things that you have to face as coach?
I think just overall in all of high school athletics now, it's just getting everybody on the same page, you know. You know, God has blessed us with some incredible opportunities, and I just try to use those as much as I can. But, you know, there's such a broad spectrum of why people participate in sports now. You know, they leveraging it because they need to get college paid for, or, you know, they just want to have fun and be a part of something new and get in the yearbook. So trying to manage the various places where people are ending up and what their commitment level is. And you know, in college, it was different. In college, it's so different because, you know, those kids get dropped off by the parents and they're, you know, so I'm tutor, you know, coach, I'm dad, I'm everything to them, you know. Whereas with high school athletics, you know, I've learned over the past few seasons that they still very much, and rightfully so, their influence is tied up and wrapped up with their parents. So for me, just trying to get everybody on the same page and understanding what the vision is and what we're trying to do, and if we can get there, I found where if we can get, you know, people to focus on that, then there's some success laid up in that.
What's been most rewarding?
Yeah, most rewarding. I mean, just being able to, you know, give back, number one, to your alma mater, but also, like I said, you know, this is a vehicle for me in which I'm able to do the ministry I feel God has laid out for me, you know. So to be able to walk that out every day, you know, and be able to, you know, get up in front of them before games and do devotions and speak openly about God and talk to them about those things and kind of do like Coach Delgado did for me and teach them, like, hey, this is what it's going to be like in life, you know. And I know I'm there. I affect a lot of student athletes, but I do feel like for me, the calling is to help raise up the next generation of men, you know, and teaching them what it means to be, that even from the brokenness that I came from, and even though I have the background that I had, that's not the end, you know. It's just a part of the story, and you know, so that's nice just to be able to interact with the kids and see them grow, and like I said, you know, God has afforded me some incredible opportunities, and so using those connections and the network that I have within this coaching business to help our kids achieve their goal or get to the next level, I mean, that for me is everything.
The Hawaiian community. What has it meant for you, Abu, you and Marlena, for the Hawaiian community?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think most of all, just trying to be a role model, you know, in where we are today in this world, you know. And like I said, try and teach our young men, you know, what I feel the Lord is telling me that he needs the men to be like here coming in the next 10, 15, 20 years. And that's always the conversation that I have with the parents is that, you know, I'm trying to help you guys create the best man, because at the end of the day, we're going to be living next door to some of these kids one day. And I want to have barbecues with them and not call the police on them, you know. But just within the, you know, I think with the Hawaiian community, just like she said, and being on the homestead, we lived there for, you know, 3.5 years. And just by demonstration, just showing them, you know, hey, it's possible. Doesn't matter what you live in, where you come from, you know, God is in control. And you know, you can be, I tell our kids all the time that I want you guys to be more successful and have better experiences than I have, because you guys can go out and go get it.
Marlena, when the season ends, when the football season ends, as a coach's wife, what do you feel for your husband at that time?
When the football season ends? Mm. It doesn't really end for a football coach, because he's already thinking about the next season. Mm. He's wrapping up, tying out the loose ends for the seniors that are going on to college, and kind of laying out the vision for the next season and getting acquainted with the new players that are going to be on the varsity team. And also, I think that for a head coach, they also manage the other coaches. So It's not just relationships with the kids. It's also the relationship with the parents as well as the coaches, and trying to be mindful of their time as well. So, I'm not sure that the season really ends for the head football coach. So, we're still learning. We're still trying to figure out how to balance out him and all of the many hats that he wears, because he's not just a football coach. He's also the leader of our family, and he's also a dad. He's also a son. He's also a brother, you know, and just trying to balance all of those titles that he holds.
So we talked about the end. From your perspective, it brings a different perspective than I would imagine what most people might even think. Because people do think about an end, but this is a transition into another of the same, or it's in cyclical, so to speak, right? Coach, when you get on the field on the first day, kids coming out, they're excited. What do you feel?
I think you kind of feed off of their energy, you know, and you just, you know, you love it. You know, just, I mean, that's probably the best part of the day for me during football season, or even in the off season, is you know, just being there, you know, what I call just in my element, you know, kind of all those other things just kind of fade away, you know, what this email coming in or this, you know, dealing with this, and just I think, like with them, just kind of get lost in the feeling of being out there and trying to make them better. You know, I think I've been able to remove a lot of the emotions of like the angst of, you know, being a player, where you just kind of get into this zone of like, you know, having to be prepared and try to teach them how to get into that zone without me getting there and being, you know, all crazy and stuff like that. So it's kind of an art, you know, because, you know, to play football, it's, you have to be emotional, you know, but just being out there and trying to get them better, and, you know, seeing when, you know, you're trying to teach them something and they struggle with it and they work through it, and to see them finally get it. I mean, that's such a rewarding feeling over, you know, wins or losses or whatever, just, you know, knowing that you had a hand in developing this kid to get better. I mean, that's kind of it.
We've got a couple minutes left, but a burning question. What's it like, Coach Abu Maafala, to come back and coach now against Kaolei, Kaleane, Punahou, Kaolei St. Louis, Wendell Look, Iolani, and so on?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's surreal, because like I said, I never thought I would, you know, in my prayers and my desires of a career, like, I didn't think I would be coaching high school football this early, you know, so to come back and see that I played against those guys, you know, and battled fiercely. And then to get to know them, you know, on a personal level, it's just, it's still very, you know, I'm in awe. We get into some of these, you know, our ILH meetings and stuff. And so, you know, the rivalries are there. You know, it's still St. Louis Kamehameha. And then obviously now with the resurgence of Punahou, it's Punahou and Kamehameha. So, you know that you're going to be playing against well-coached players, and you know, you try to bring your A game every time you play them. So,
well, this truly has been a great blessing and a privilege to have you with us today, both of you, Abu, Marlena. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make His face to shine upon you, your family, and your team, and the Lord. Lift His countenance upon you and fill you with peace in Christ our Lord. Big mahalo to you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Courageous words from Coach Abu and Marlena Ma'afala. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I believe, we believe, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Well, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support, your prayers, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Coach Abu and Marlene Ma'afala. Until next time, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.